I want to thank Talia and Eli Erich that should be a schus le'ilui nishmas Isil Bas Yosef and Eliezer ben Tzvi Hirsch Halevi, the Nisham Shehav Nali and Shehav Nali Simcha Nachas and Broch. I'm not going to talk about Chametz. We're going to talk about everything else, but not Chametz. If they get rid of the Chametz, I'm not going to talk about it, just to get rid of it. I want to talk about the Pnimius of what this Shabbos is about, Shabbos HaChodesh. Hashem wanted to bring us into Pesach, into Yontiv, with HaChodesh HaZelochem, with Parshas HaChodesh. It must be that the whole Inyan of Pesach is somehow contained in that freshness of the new moon starting again. So the Gemara tells us in Shabbos and the Flamed Aleph, the Gemara tells us that when we're 120 and we come to the next world, there are certain questions that were asked. It was like an interview at 120 when we leave this world and we come to the next world. And it seems that the big, big question at 120 is two words. Tzipisa liYeshua. With a question mark. Tzipisa liYeshua, which means, literally, were you a person that while you were on earth, while you were alive in the guf, were you a person that was longing for, that was waiting for salvation, for redemption? Were you a person that was waiting for redemption? See, peace of Yeshua. The meaning of that question is not only Mashiach, but that interview, the question is asked, Hashem says to each one of us, tell me the truth. While you were alive, were you an optimistic person? Were you a person that was a tzipisa liYeshua type of a man, type of a woman? That you were a person that was getting up each morning with faith, with excitement, with anticipation that life is going to be good and things are going to be better? Were you an optimistic person? Tzipisa liYeshua, were you somebody that was living in a way where you were waiting for salvation? Not just the final salvation. Of course, that's the Yeshua of all Yeshuas, but day to day, minute to minute, were you an optimistic person or were you a pessimistic person? Were you a person that despite, like now, despite all the rash, all the noise of what is surrounding us, all the news, good news and bad news, all these different things, were you able, was I able, while we were alive, to hold on to that happiness, Simchas Chaim, the optimism, the excitement, looking forward to the future? Were we such people? That's the question. That's a big question. See, peace, Yeshua. And it seems from the Gemara that a lot of what happens to us beyond this world depends upon the answer to that question, the honest answer to the question. While you were in the world, did you live with that faith of that brought to a life of optimism and anticipation? Or were you a pessimistic, negative person? Now, you know, Shlomo Melech wrote a number of Svarim. And he wrote many Svarim, a few of which we have. And we read from, we learn from, on different Yom Tovim. There are different customs, Svarim and so on, but we learn from on Yontif. The most optimistic, exciting sefer, of course, is Shir HaShir. The one that is difficult and we could find, if we don't understand it properly, we could find depressing, is Koheles. Shir HaShir is all about the optimism of the young couple, of the Chasna Kala, Hashem, the Jewish people, towards an exciting future and so on. And Koheles seems to be the reflections of an older person, a person who's a person who's seen what the world really is. Rav Kook had a great student by the name of Rav David Cohen. He was known as the Nazir. He kept the laws of Nazirus. He was a very mysterious and great tzaddik in Talmud Chacham, the Nazir. The Nazir, when he spoke about the book of Koheles, he said that it's filled with ke'ev ha'olam. It's filled with the pain of life in this world. Koheles is filled with the pain of living in this world. And that pain, the Nazir said, is encapsulated, is summed up in five words by Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles. Ein kol chadash tachas HaShemesh. Ein kol chadash tachat HaShemesh. Which means there is nothing new under the sun. Ein kol chadash tachas HaShemesh. Shlomo HaMelech speaks about this throughout the Megillah. Dor holech dor ba. A generation leaves and a new generation comes. Vizorach HaShemesh, Uvah HaShemesh, the sun rises, the sun sets. Sovev, sovev, holech haruach, the winds go round and round. Al sivosav shavaruach, they go and the winds return. Ma shahaya, hu sheyihye. All that was is all there's going to be. Uma shenasa, and whatever took place in the past, pretty much hu sheyihye is pretty much what's going to be. But you could look forward to and expect in the future. So sometimes it looks like there's something new, something different, that the world is moving to something greater and higher, more exciting. And everybody says, look, this is new. Shlomo HaMelech says, no, he soon discovered that it really is just a rerun. It's just a repetition. It's a rerun. So the Nazir said that this is the essence of the ke'ev ha'olam, of the pain of man's existence, and the source of despair, and the source of unbearable pessimism on the part of many of those who inhabit and have lived over the years in this world. Ma shehayahu sheyeh. Look, basically, things just go on. Whatever was, will be. Nothing really, really is better than it was in the past. That's just how it is. Some good days, some bad days, as Shlomo HaMelech says also. There you may tov, there are good days, you may ra. But things are pretty much the same. This is the source, Rav David Cohen says, of the ke'ev ha'ol, of the pain of the world. Children don't feel that pain. Children are excited. They're always waiting for something new. And everything in their lives that they see is something that they haven't seen before. And they're excited. But as we grow older, we grow bored with all that was. And there's nothing really much that's different than what was in the past. A couple is all excited about the chasna. There's going to be gewaldig. And it is very sweet. It's very nice. But then in life, raising children, if you're zochet to have children, and just making it through this world with parnasa and all the challenges, not much new. Now, in ancient Greece, there was a big machlokes. There was a big dispute among the philosophers in ancient Greece. There was a school of thought. There was a Beis HaMedrash in ancient Greece that tainted, that was convinced that the world is static. Existence is static, meaning essentially it doesn't change. The world is the same. It really is not different from how it was in the past, present, and the future. There are discoveries, inventions, but for the most part, life itself, relationships, and so on, is static, remains the same. Ein kol chadash, like Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles, there is nothing new. Tachas HaShemesh. Of course, Shlomo HaMelech believed in something higher than the Shemesh, than the sun. We're not talking about that right now. So this school of philosophers was a school that generated a tremendous amount of negativity and pessimism. And there are many, many people that you and I have met who are registered in that Beis Medrash of pessimism, of Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. There was another school in ancient Greece that was just the opposite, that believed in the dynamism of the world, that everything is changing, everything is new, everything is shoteif, and shoeif is like a river, always something new, something changing, something different. Now this machloikes that was in ancient Greece, in modern times, among modern philosophers, came down to a big machloikes also. The pessimists were led by a famous philosopher by the name of Descartes. And the optimists were led by a great philosopher by the name of Bergson. Unfortunately, I spent a great deal of time studying this stuff many, many years ago. Bergson saw a world that was filled with creation, that was filled with chiddush, that was constantly evolving. He saw a shir hashem dika world. He saw a world of chodesh hazeh lochem, of the moon rising, of something new and exciting, of chodesh aviv, chag aviv, the springtime, hakol chadash. Bergson looked at the world in such a way. And in modern times, in the secular world, he's the father of all optimists. Now, what's the shirish? What's the root of these two tfisot, these two ways of thinking, of pessimism and of optimism? So now let's go to Pesach. Let's go to Pesach. We begin the Haggadah with the very, very painful and depressing story of what happened to the children of Yaakov Avinu. How did we end up in such a mess? How did we end up in such a galus? What happened to us? How do they do that to us? How do we become from, how do we change? What happened that we were proud and free, the people, the children of the others? How did we become the slaves of the lowest people, the lowest place on earth? So the story of galus, we begin really mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah, was saying, and we say, it begins with a question of manishtan. Manishtan, which means, how is this night different? That's how we translate it. But it really means, what is different? Golus is the question of manishtan. That's how we begin the story of Golus. Manishtan. Now, there are other ways of interpreting that. But the story of exile begins with the question, ma, what? Manishtan, what is different? That's how it begins. But what's amazing is that as we travel through the Haggadah, through the night, and we are redeemed from Egypt, together with our ancestors, we escape, we leave Egypt, that world of pessimism and of darkness. By the time we get to the end of the Seder, at this point, most of the children have either been carried up to bed, fallen asleep on the couch, a couple of adults also. We're at the end of the Seder by Nirtza, and right before Chag Gadya, we all sing Echad Miyodea. In our family, we have a beautiful, beautiful niggun that my wife's family had. It was passed down, and we sing together. It's not the regular, the old Echad Miyodea. We have a beautiful niggun. If I would be courageous and knew how to sing, I would teach it to you right now, but I'll leave that up to my wife. She'll do that on the women's chat. So at the end of the Seder, we come to a different question. The Seder Golus begins with a question, ma, what? Ma nishtana, what is different? Ma. But the end of the Seder is a different question. It's not the question of ma, what? It's echad, mi yodea, who knows one? Mi is not what, mi is who. Echad mi yodea. So it seems that the soid, the secret of galus, is contained in the and of pessimism, is contained in the word ma, what. And the soid, the secret of redemption of geula, is contained in the word, in the question, me, who? I want to explain this. It's a very deep sugi. Listen carefully. It really would take much more time than we have right now, but I wanted just very quickly to at least open up the inyan. At the very introduction of the Zohar HaKadosh, I've mentioned this in Shiurim over the years, we have a remarkable teaching from Rebbe Lazar, the son of Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. Rebbe Lazar is darshaning, he's speaking about creation, Ma'aseh Bereishis. And he raises the pasuk in the 40th parak of Yeshaya in Navi. It's a very, very well-known pasuk. Se'u miroim einechem, uru'u mi bara eila. Literally, se'u miroim einechem, lift your eyes up towards the heavens, uru'u, and look, see, mi bara eila. Who created all of this? Mi bara eila. So Rabbi Elazar says, La'an Asar, when Yeshaya Nabi said, he didn't say in the Pasuk, it doesn't say, it doesn't say, look up to the stars or to the sun, the moon. It says, Su'umirayim Einechem, Rabbi Elazar taught means, L'mokam Shekol Einayim Tuluyos Sham. Lift up your way of looking at life. Listen how Rabbi Elazar learns this pasuk. It's very deep. Lift up your eyes. There are different. You can look at the world in a way that's a physical, mundane, dark way of seeing things, or you can lift up your eyes, your way of seeing things, in a himmeldicke way, in a heavenly way. You can look at things in an earth from an earthly perspective, or you can look at things from a heavenly perspective to change your way of looking. L'mokim shekol einayim tluyos sham. Rabbi Elazar says that the Navi was telling us, look at the world from the perspective of the Creator. That there's a Creator. The ha'isosim atika de kaimel she'ela. Think of Hashem, the Creator, whose ways, the Ancient One, whose ways are mysterious and hidden. And all of us, and even the angels are wondering, me, who is he? Who is he? Who is Hashem? And we ask the question, mi bara eila. Not like a question that we don't know, but me, the mysterious one, the Ancient One, the one who is beyond our comprehension, is the Creator of all of these things. The Zohar teaches that the two words me and Ela form the word Elohim. Me, Ela. Mem Yud, Aleph Lamed Hey, the letters spell Elohim. Elohim Hashem. Me, Ela. Now, let's try to understand in a very, not Kabbalistic, simple for people like us, what Rabbi Loz is telling us. There's an Egyptian perspective of life. There's an Egyptian perspective. You could watch it on your phone every single minute, 24 hours a day, on NBC, CBN, CNBC, BBC. You could stay tuned to it, and people are tuned to it, attached to it, like it's already become a part of the body. You could watch and be connected to the Egyptian way of looking at life. That way of life, where there are laws, so-called laws of nature, where everything is like Shlomo Melech describes, the way the world thinks that everything is so vave, there's nothing new, everything is a cycle, the world is under the control, is controlled by these natural, physical cycles that enslave existence to these laws, to these rules that are unbreakable. There are no miracles. There are no miracles. There's no splitting of the sea. There are no plagues in the Egyptian mentality. There's only one thing, what's called the laws of nature, that repeat and repeat in different variations, different mutations, and so on, just over and over and over. Masha haya, husheyihiyah. That which was is that which will be. That's the Egyptian before ancient Greece. That's the Egyptian Mitzri perspective of life that is the source of pessimism before ancient Greece. That's why the word Mitzrayim, as you all know, is the same word as Meitzarim, which means to be bound, to be contained, to be held back. In the same way that essentially the world is the same as it always was. There's nothing miraculous. There's nobody in control. I also can't change. I'm also stuck to my addiction, to my habits, to my faults, to all of the silliness and the ugliness, to the abuse that I suffered as a child. I'm condemned to remain stuck in that prison of darkness and ugliness. It's a dark, pessimistic world of Meitzarim, of Mitzrayim. But there's another way of looking at things. That first way is the way of Galus, of Egypt. That's the question. That always is the question of Ma. What is it? Maza. The pessimists are only interested in what is the nature of this virus? What is exactly, what is the definition of this particular word, of this particular animal? The question of the Egyptians is always Ma. What is it? What is it? It's something that always was. We just haven't understood it. What is this? But there's another way of looking at creation, with the question of Mi bara ela. Echad mi yodeya, echad ani yodeya. Mi bara ela means that there is a boire, there's a creator. The world is every second in his hands. The world is a living, breathing, evolving organism, changing in the hands of the creator, being created every second, like it's explained in Tanya and Shayichad Amura and Nefesh HaChaim. Every single second, Hashem is creating, is Vayom Lekim Yehi Or, Yehi Or. Every second is changing. So the question of Egypt and the beginning of the Haggadah and the beginning of Galus is Ma Nishtana. What is different? Ma, Memhei. That's the only question that the Egyptians care about. The pessimists just the question of what? They're not. They don't believe in, nor are they looking for or interested in the answer to the question of Mi Bara Ela. Who is the creator of all of this? Mi Bara Ela. So you and I have a choice, Rav. You and I can look at the moon. I don't know what's doing out there right now. It's almost Rosh Chodesh, so this really should be ready, pretty much gone. Soon. It's going to be Rosh Chodesh. You could look outside at the moon and you could ask the question, Ma, what is that? And to the best of our ability to answer the question of Ma, based upon whatever scientific data we have at this time in history regarding the nature of the moon. What is the moon? What is the moon? That's all. The question of what is the moon? Or you and I can go outside and we can look at the moon and we stare in wonder like little children, even though we're already older. And we look at the moon and we say the words like the men say by Kiddush Levana, V'lel Levana Amar Shetischadesh Ateres Teferes Lamusei Vata. Rabbi Shalom, just like you renew the moon, it wasn't here and you brought a new moon into our lives, so too we believe that you're going to bring a new Jewish people into the world. You're going to renew our spirits. You're going to renew our lives. You're going to bring redemption. You're going to bring Geula this minute. You're going to Shehem Asidim Hischadesh Kamaisa. And just like it's a new moon, I could also become new. I don't have to be addicted to my past. I could be new. And we end, we say the words Baruch, the Baruch, Baruch Hashem, Mechadesh Chadoshim. Mechadesh Chadoshim Hashem, you bring the word Chodesh means new. It's Pashas HaChodesh. Mechadesh Chadoshim. And by Kiddush Levana we say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. David Melech is not somebody that was just living thousands of years ago. Chai V'Kayim. He's alive. And you know what we do? You know what we do by Kiddush Levana? I know the women don't participate in that, but you know what the guys do. You look at the person that you just spent the whole Shabbos with. He sits next to you in shul, right? And you're standing outside. And what do you say to him? Shalom Aleichem. Right? You say to three different people, Shalom Aleichem. And the person answers, Aleichem Shalom. Meaning, this is the person that I know this person my whole life. I say it to my kid, Shalom Aleichem. He says, Aleichem Shalom means that you're not the same person this minute that you were a moment ago. It's like somebody I just met and I say, like all Jews say to each other, Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shalom. Vikim Sayyid, where are you from? Who are you? When you meet a person, Shalom Aleichem. It's like somebody that you never met. You go outside and you never met. You can go outside. You know, I think tomorrow I heard it's supposed to be 70 degrees. Did you hear that? It's supposed to be 70 degrees. It's crazy. I think a few days ago it was like 22. Tomorrow's supposed to be 70 degrees. So I'm davening and please daven that my mother will finally agree to go outside and take a walk. That's what we're all davening for over here. So I told her today, I said, Ma, it's going to be 70 degrees. We're taking a walk tomorrow. It's beautiful out. She says, no, there's snow. I said, Ma, there's no snow. There's only one spot at the end of our block. I see there's still some snow there. I don't know how that's possible, but there's still some snow there. But it's going to be beautiful. 70 degrees, there's not going to be any snow. We're going to go outside. You haven't been outside like in a year, except to a doctor's office. It's time to breathe. You can go outside in the spring. It's the most beautiful day. And you can look at the flowers. And you're some cute little scientist, and you ask, what is this? And you say some Latin term for the flower, right? Some Latin, I don't know, some funny word for that the official term for the species of flower that you're looking at, which is okay. Not against that. You should be able to identify the flowers. That's fine. Or you could look at the flower when the flowers start to come up. In front of our house, these little purple ones started to come up already this week. Or you could look at the flowers, you could look at the grass coming up, and you close your eyes and you take a deep breath and you breathe inside and you say, I mi bara Ela, creator of all worlds. Who are you? If you could change the world like this, you could change me too. You could help me to become better. I want to be new. I want to be different. I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to be stuck. This is a Jew that asks the question, me, not ma. The question is me, who? Who is he? Who is he? Me, Barayla, who's the creator of all of this? That's how David HaMelech looked at the world. All of you have said Perek Shira, you say Perek Shira. Everything in the world is singing. Chol Atzei Asada, Yimcha Okaf, all of the, when we bring in Shabbos, we say that capital Tehillim, all of the trees in the forest are clapping and singing and Rumi Barayla. You could take an apple into your hand and you could just have the question, Maza, Ma, that's Egyptian. That's just Egypt. If you stop with the question, Ma, that's Egypt. But if you continue to ask, Miza, when you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri Ha'etz, Mi Bara Ela, who created this? Who created this? Echad Mi Yodea, Mi Yodea, that's Geula. You understand? However, that's redemption. That's redemption. That's being free. You're not a slave to it, to what? You're a servant of who? Of Mi Bara Ela. You're part of that world of Mi Bara Ela. You're not a woman that has become a mashahu, or a man that has become a thing for somebody else's pleasure or somebody else's expectations. You're a mishahu. You're somebody. There's a difference between a mashahu and a mishu. There are people who have become things. Mashahu, that's Egyptian. Mishu. Mishu means that's a human being. He was created with a specific purpose by Hashem Yisbarach. You're sitting next to somebody. It's not mashahu, it's mishu. So listen. The parashah of Chodesh Zelachem, this Shabbos is parashah of Chodesh Zelachem. This is mamish, was the beginning of the revolution. Hashem revealed the new moon and this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh to us while we were still in Egypt. And Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the new moon, and he revealed to us this mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon, HaChodesh Zalachem. It was the beginning of the revolution of turning things from pessimism to optimism. Avraham Avinu was the one who really was the first revolutionary, was the first fighter in the revolution. Because, you know, Avraham Avinu was in a world of idolatry. An idol is something that is a ma, it's something, it's a thing, it's a piece of wood, it's a piece of stone. That's what an idol is. You can't look at a piece of rock, at an idol, and say, Misa. It's nothing, it's a mashu. It's a piece of, it's a tree, it's a stone, it's a statue. It's lepnish, it's not alive. Avraham Avinu said this can't be. Avraham Avinu looked at the world and he asked a big question. That was really the beginning of the revolution. Avraham Avinu looked at the world and he asked, he said, it says he saw that there was a world that was mamish lit up, a world, a lichtiger world. And he asked, Mi bal habira? Who's the balabas over here? Me. Avraham Avinu was our father. He began with the question, Mi bal habira? Echad mi yodea? Who is this? It's not like they were saying in Egypt. It's not like the car was saying. It's not like the Greeks were saying that it's just something. It's a mashu. This world is, there's a mishu. There's somebody. There's a creator. There's the question of mi barela. This is not just a thing. It's not a chefz. It's not an object. There's a creator. And each one of us was created with purpose. And Hashem Baruch is creating again and new. Everything is fresh. Everything is Shir Hashirim. Everything is the spring. Each one of us was sent to this world to be free, to change, to create, to do, to believe in a me that is infinitely higher. That's the creator of Ma. You know, it's interesting. The word Adam, man. Adam is the gematria of 45. 45 equals the word ma. What? Adam is the gematria of 45. So one way of man being in this world, of living and of looking at life, is Adam is 45, and 45 is Memhe. Memhe is ma. That's the Egyptian perspective. Adam is Memhe. But when a human being is free, we take the word me, mem yud. Me, and that equals 50. 50, you know, is Yovel. The 50th year is the Jubilee. It means complete and absolute freedom. It means echad mi yodecha, echad ni yodeya. The world of Egypt is a world of slavery. A slave is a person who has become an object. A slave is a mishu, a human being with feelings, with thoughts. A human being, a mishu who has become a mashu, who has become a thing, an object that's owned, that's bought and sold. That's what Egypt is. That's what a slave is. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know, that God is going to take us out of Egypt. So Paro was laughing. He made fun. And he said, Mi Hashem Ashe'eshma Bekol Ashe'eshma. Who is this God that I should listen to him? In other words, he was rejecting and making fun of the question, Mi Bara'ela. Mi Hashem. Who is God? There is no God. Mi Hashem. You know, there's a, before I get to Rav Kook, there's a poem that I've read over the years. It's one of my favorite poems by Walt Whitman, L'Havel Ben Kodesh L'Chol. It's a famous poem, and I'm sure many of you know it. When I first heard this, it blew me away. It's a couple of lines. It's about a student in the university going to hear a lecture on astronomy. And he goes into the big lecture hall to hear the professor lecture on the subject of astronomy. So I'll read it to you. I know there's a way to put it up on the thing. I don't know how to do that. When I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were arranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I, sitting, heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon, unaccountably, I became tired and sick, till rising and gliding out, I wandered off by myself into the mystical, moist night air and looked up in perfect silence at the stars. It's the most beautiful poem. What Whitman is saying here is that the student was listening to the professor lecturing about the moon and the stars. And with all of the diagrams and all of the numbers. And he said, I became sick and tired of Ma. And I went out, I ran out of the room into the mystical, moist night air. And I looked up in perfect silence at the stars. In other words, he escaped Egypt, the classroom. He ran out of the classroom and he went out into the night, not to lecture about the universe, not to lecture about Yiddishkeit, the lecture about davening, the lecture about mitzvahs. He went out and he looked up in the mystical, moist night air, and from time to time, the perfect silence of the stars, the silence of the stars, because he switched from the question of Manishtana, Golas, Egypt, and he entered into the amazing world of Mem Yud, of me. Now, the greatest optimist of modern times among our tzaddikim, there were some very great optimists. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlosser Leinu was the most unbelievable optimist. Before him, not long before him, and their lives crossed over for some years, 25 years or so, was Rav Kook. There's nobody that I am familiar with that wrote as much about this that we're discussing right now as Rav Kook. And in the second Chelek of Aris HaKadosh, Rav Kook writes, Ki eich evshul hisyayish. Eich evshul hisyayish. How is it possible to despair, to give up hope? How could a person be misyayish? How could a person be misyayish when you look and you see around you that everything is opening, everything is changing, everything is evolving, everything is changing, everything is ascending to a higher place? That's what he wrote. In the Aris HaTshuva Parakei, Sif Gimel. So Rav Kook writes, Ha'olam muchrachu lav l'dei tshuva shlema. Nobody ever spoke this way. Rav Kook said, the world must do tshuva. The world is doing tshuva. Ein ha'olam omed al matzav echad. What does tshuva mean? Tshuva means you could change. It means you don't have to do that, Aveira. You don't have to talk that way. You don't have to act that way. You don't have to be that kind of person that you're unhappy with. You're not stuck. So Rav Kook says, the world is not stuck. Ein ha'olam omed al matzav echad. The world is not static, like the ancient Greeks thought. Kim holechu mispateach. The world is constantly changing. It's new. It's vahispaschus ha'amitis ha'shlema muchrachas ilahavi lois ha'briyus ha'gmura. And the world is moving closer and closer towards complete health. Achormis v'haruchnis, physical health and spiritual health. You know how much the world has changed? In our generation, we're zeichet to see that people are living to be 85, 90, 95, 100 years old. My father, Olav Shalom, told me that in Europe, when he was growing up, if somebody lived to be 65, it's like there was the biggest chiddush in town that this person lived to be 65. It was a huge thing. You know how many babies died? How many mothers died giving birth? Lo aleinu? How many children were left without mothers? The world is moving. The world is evolving. Not naturally. Mi bara eila. The world is doing tshuva. The world is a world of achodesh alachem. It's every second something new. And he writes, he says, And with the changing world, man is also changing. And even though it looks to us like it's like we're far, we're not far. The world is doing tshuva. The world is changing. The world is changing. And therefore, we understand now. Let's go back to the beginning. We understand now that the question, Roman 120, that we're going to be asked in the Bezna Shomala, the question of Sipisili Yeshua, when you were in the world. Right now I'm looking at Nechama Tova, and Sasha, and Esti, and Rosie. That's, I have a phone, I don't have a computer. So when you and we're all going to be asked at 120, Sipisili Yeshua. You're girls, you're going to be asked Sipis, and I'm going to be asked Sipisa. Sipisili Yeshua. Did you long for salvation? Which means, did you, in the deepest, deepest part of you, what was the question of your life? Was it ma or was it me? Was the question, what is this? Or mi bara elo, or who is he? What was the question? Did you live a life in Egypt, stuck in that old version of yourself that you should have outgrown and overcome? The silliness, the mistakes, the smallness. Did you get stuck in Egypt, in that world of Ma? Or were you living with the question of Mi Bara Ela? Who is the creator of all of this? Because the one who created all of this is not Tachas HaShemesh. I'm not stuck under the sun. Shlomo Melech at the end, of course, says that we're not stuck. That's only if you live Tachas HaShemesh. But if you're a Jew and you look, you lift your eyes up. Up doesn't mean physically to have to look up. It means if you look at the world from that perspective of what? Of Rav Kook, of Tshuva, of Achodesh Zelochem, of Hischadjus, of change, of the Creator, that every single second Hashem creates me this second. I'm new. I was never here before. I'm not stuck in the past. If you live in that way, then Rav Kook wrote about such a person. Mimokam She'ein Kol Chodesh. You move from a place where nothing is new to a place where nothing is old. Nothing is old. Everything is new. Egypt is a world where nothing is new. Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim, is a place where nothing is old. Nothing is old. Everything is new. Everything is just now, straight out of the oven from Hashem's hands, mi bara ela mamish, this second. So Simchas Shamayim ve'Eretz Hayvav, and a person can feel in life the joy of heaven and of earth. Kiyom Shenevro, like the day that they were created, like the day that they were created. So now let's end. So you must have realized where I was getting to with all of this. Ma and me, when you put those two words together, they spell mami. Ma and me is mommy. Now, some of you might have been raised on mama. There are some people that are raised on mama. I was raised with mommy. Ma and me. Some have ima. I was raised with the word mommy. And mommy means that there's one person in your life. Again, sometimes things go wrong. I know not all mothers are successful at doing this, and not all children are doing their best to receive it. Ideally, what is mommy? Who is this person, mommy? Many of yours are Baruch Hashem mommies and future mommies. What does it mean to be a mommy? To be mommy means to lift a child up from the question of ma and to draw the child deeper and deeper to the question of me. That's what it means to be mommy. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yashaber, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, spoke about, it's translated into English in the book Family Redeemed, which are essays from Rav Soloveitchik on the subject of marriage and the home. And Over there, page 114, 115, I've read this to you in the past. He explains the difference between the mission of the father and the mother in raising children. The difference. So let me read to you a few sentences. There is a distinction between mother's and father's mission within the covenantal community, within Klal Yisrael, since they represent two different personalistic approaches. The mother and the father are two different personalistic approaches. Father's teaching is basically of an intellectual nature. The essential teaching of the father, the basic teaching of the man, of the father, is to answer the question, ma. That's what the learning is about. And that's the most basic question of men. Ma. And he writes, Yiddishkeit is to a great extent an intellectual discipline, a method, a system of thought, a hierarchy of values. In order to be acquainted with all of these aspects, one must study, comprehend, acquire knowledge, and be familiar at least with its basic principles. Let me confide, it is not too easy a task. The teaching must be strict, exact, and conscientious. If the father cannot accomplish it all by himself, he must see to it that his child obtains the necessary instruction. So that's the main role of the father, to teach, to educate, the question of ma, the curriculum of Yiddishkeit. That's the main role of the father. Not only that, but that's the main role of the father. But then the Rav ends and he says the following, listen carefully. However, Yiddishkeit is not only an intellectual tradition, but an experiential one as well. The Jew not only observed, but experienced Shabbos. The Jew experienced Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He did not only recite prayers on these days. The Seder was not just a ceremonial, but a great experiential event. There is beauty, grandeur, warmth, and tenderness to Yiddishkeit. All these qualities cannot be described in cognitive terms. One may behold them, feel them, sense them, like the student that ran out of the lecture into the night. One may behold them, feel them, and sense them. It is impossible to provide one with a formal training in the experiential realm. Experiences are communicated not through the word, but through steady contact, through association, through osmosis, through a tear, a smile, through dreamy eyes and soft melody, through the silence at twilight and the recital of Shema. All this is to be found in the maternal domain. The mother, mommy, creates the mood. She is the artist who is responsible for the magnificence, the solemnity, the beauty. She tells the child of the great romance of Yiddishkeit. She somehow communicates to him the tremor, the heartbeat of Yiddishkeit while playing, singing, laughing, and crying. That's what it means to go from ma to me. The mommy is the one that pulls the kid out of the lecture and says, come take a walk with me. Look up at the sky and ask with me the question, mi bara ela. Let's do a little dance over here under the moon. Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh Zelachem. The tenderness, the beauty, the warmth of Yiddishkeit. That feeling of Hashem's presence. It's not a lecture. It's the feeling of Hashem's love and the feeling of Hashem's presence. And when a person is raised that way, then even though that person, that child, just like all of us, has to live through the whole Chagadya, you know, of Asashun, of Achlagadya, of the cat and the dog and the stick and the fire, the whole business, the whole Chagadya, all of the pain of the world. But a Jew that asks the question, Yibarela, knows that the world is moving closer and closer towards the final one of Asakash Baruch of Ashachat Lamal Chamavitz. That Hashem is coming. He's going to be revealed. He's going to shech the Malacham Avos. Those who live in Egypt have gone crazy from the pandemic and are stuck in the Egyptian stations. I mean it. It's an Egyptian, dark, pessimistic, depressing way of life. Those who left Egypt, those who joined Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, and Miriam, who crossed through the ocean, those who went to Eretz Yisrael to Beis HaMikdash to Yerushalayim. They believe b'emunah shleimah that even though this is their hard things and the things that are dark in life, but it's not a cycle of the Chag Gadya. It's not. And all of it is the Zabin Abba Bisrei Zuzay, that we have a father who loves us. The Zabin Abba, Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya. That comes right after Echad Miyodeya. No matter what it is that we're living through, no matter what it is that's going on in life, we believe b'emunah shleimah that we have a father. There's a purpose to all of this. And then ultimately, it's not up to Fauci. It's not up to CDC. It's not up to the World Health Organization. It's not up to your doctor or my doctor. It's not up to anybody. That's only from the perspective of Ma. That's all they could answer. And even that, they're botching up all over the place. Our lives are in our Father's hands. Mi bara eila. And therefore, we believe, and that's how we end the Seder. We end the Seder with, we also have a tune in our family, the Chag Gadya. The most beautiful tune. Not the old one that you're singing. We have a new tune. My wife will teach it to you on the ladies' chat. The Chag Gadya that we sing by the Weinbergers. We have a beautiful, beautiful Chag Gadya. At the end of Chag Gadya, we're all looking forward to when we know it's going to be. Because Hashem never, ever has left us. For us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malacham. The Malachim Avos is going to leave when Hashem shechs the Malachim Avos. Not because of this vaccine or that vaccine. Whether you take it, you don't take it, that's not the Indian. It's for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachat l'malachim Avos. And you know what we do? Those Jews who believe in Shir HaShirim, that after you close the Haggadah, and everybody is mamish, mamish, falling asleep, so exhausted and tired, even the ones who go to the hotels where everybody is waiting on you, you also want to go to sleep by that point. If I would be in a hotel, I'd want to go to sleep at the beginning of the Seder. But even those who are in the hotel and they're very, very tired, like everybody else is tired, it's late. You close the Haggadah, the children are sleeping, and you know what you do? I'll show you what you do. You take out Shir HaShirim. This is a beautiful Shir HaShirim that I have. I don't know if you could see it. It was written like a Sefer Torah that one of the Chevra gave me many years ago. It's my Erev Shabbos Shir HaShirim and my Pesach Seder Shir HaShirim. The color is because of the original color of the cloth. There's a beautiful history to it, this Shir HaShirim. After Chag Gadya, a Jew sits down and it's quiet. And the Olam is already sleeping, and you start and you say, Shir Ashir Mashal Shlom. Yishakarim and Ishiko Ispi. Everything is new. Chasm and Kala, just meeting, going out, looking at each other. It's just starting. Yiddishkeit is just starting. Everything is new. Shir Ashir. Ki Toivim Doidachem Yai. Your love is more precious to me than most delicious wine. That's after the Seder. No, Hashem Yisbarach should help each and every one of us to be the biggest, most optimistic people in the world, to be filled with the light of the new moon, to be filled with the light of Shir HaShirim, to be filled with the light of the true tzaddikim who lived every second in the world of tshuva, of change, of renewal. So this year will be the last time, halavai we should already be in Yerushalayim, but if we're still here, it should be the last time. Next time, all the packing is not going to be to go anywhere else except to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem should help us that we should be neighbors and we should laugh and see each other staying at on the Merpesets next year. Pesach, we're going to be able to sing Echad Miyodei and Chag Gadya together in Yerushalayim with the Gula Shahamitis. Amen. And I didn't thank Natalie. Natalie, thank you again for everything that you've done, that you're doing.